Well, as the music suggests, it's the classy Soccer Central podcast. I'm James Sharman. Back by popular demand is Thomas Dobby.
That's right, yeah.
And some guy looks a bit like George Peros if he was like 100 pounds lighter and weaker.
That's a great comparison.
That's Brendan
Dunlop. I never even thought
I was anticipating something. But
I love the pronunciation. George Peros.
Yeah, Peros. Peros. Sorry,
George
Peros.
Peros.
Doesn't Peros though sound far better than Peros?
Great. He looks like George Peros, but like 8 inches shorter and 80 pounds lighter. And yeah.
I could have said Borat. I could have said Freddie Mercury.
You could have said,
but you wouldn't know Freddie Mercury was.
You're right. Fire,
I will say though, it suits you.
You know what? The girlfriend actually likes it. Yeah, Dobby can't even make eye contact with me, which is no different than any other day. No,
really. It's very homoerotic, but it's I don't mind it. It's
but right. I guess weird. I don't know. I've got the Scully going. I've got like the weird Bill Cosby sweater and
bad combination.
Yeah,
very newsworthy though.
But anyway, the Cosby Show sweater. Why is it that I always walk into these situations? Like a few weeks ago with someone else that was in trouble. But I was going to say, I thought maybe I'd have the Raul Morales look, but not hobo enough.
And not near enough tats you haven't got any.
The Hugo Almeida? That was an awful stash during the World Cup.
Hugo Almeida.
That's right. It was well-groomed though, wasn't it, in the World Cup? I thought he worked it pretty well.
Yeah.
That picture on your Facebook, by the way, in the Rangers hockey gear. It looks pretty good, man. It looks authentic, actually.
It's the 1977 filter I put on.
You look like you could be an
athlete. Yeah, good.
It's
amazing. It's obviously the fat filter on his phone.
For the first time in my life, I've fooled people into thinking that A, I'm 100% Portuguese, and that B, perhaps I'm partly athletic. So this Movember's been a great success.
You've fooled real good.
I may have only collected $100, but it's been a great success.
Have you noticed, I noticed it today when the Jays unveiled Russ Martin, right? That he's got the Movember stash going too. And you see this time of year, these athletes signing free agent contracts or whatever it is, and they're going to look back in years to come, this big moment and these big images from that day, and they've got these awful moustaches.
Oh, yeah. It's I know it's funny. It's funny you say that because the Argos won the 100th Grey Cup here, and Ricky Ray had an amazing Movember mustache. And I thought, you know, biggest Grey Cup in the league's history. You are going to be remembered as a legend, and every photograph you're going to look like this.
Yeah, exactly. Which is fine if it's 1976, but it's not. I wonder too, like you're hosting, you know, on the weekend, you know, the national show, and the stash has comedic value. What if you're reporting on some tragedy, a big occasion, and you've got this bloody thing on your top lip?
Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't go in the demo reel.
You've got to shave it.
They give those on cameras to Martin Geyer or Jack.
There you go, producer Tom over there. Yes.
That's what you do.
Martin would get those on cams anyway. Yeah. So yes, Gabby's right.
Fair enough. Well, the internationals are behind us, thankfully.
Thank God.
Until March.
Oh, man.
Can't say I watched. I was in Chicago last weekend, so I didn't really see any of the internationals. So if we plan on talking about it,
not too much,
more useless than ever.
It was more generic, just that, you know, the big boys seem to be back on pace. Yeah. You know, Spain won.
I mean, Germany,
the Dutch
beating
won.
Gibraltar, a huge win there.
Yeah, you're 4-0. I mean, that's pretty much the same as a loss, isn't it? If you beat Gibraltar 4-0, it's a loss.
Yeah,
I think you lose points.
Quite poor.
Yeah. I guess you didn't watch much of it either.
I did see a bit of the Dutch game. I did see a bit of England, and I did see a bit of Portugal and Argentina on Tuesday. But I didn't watch any of Portugal and Armenia because I just assumed it would be a nail biting close
which
call
was,
as it was,
which
and
it was.
Yeah. But in the end, 3 points, and hey, Mr. Sanz, that's what you were brought in for. Just
everyone's
to get points,
back on track,
whatever it takes.
All the talk of crisis is behind us. Thank God, though, it's not until March that we. Renew hostilities internationally because I want a nice big long stretch of club football.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Right.
Your Christmas presents are coming.
Oh well, there's a lot coming. Before we get to the games this weekend, a couple of stories. FIFA once again in the news. We know that, right? But today they've announced they will review the review of the review again. Right? So Michael Garcia and Hans Joachim Eckert have agreed that this dude Domenico Scala will actually now review the documents. It's beyond a joke at this point. It really is. And I was speaking to Bobby McMahon about it today, and he expects nothing to really change because all this talk of a boycott, you know, by the big nations at a World Cup is a lovely talk, but it will never, ever
happen.
For numerous reasons. In particular, UEFA, and the big clubs being in UEFA, big teams, big countries, they voted for Qatar. And Russia's in Europe. So there's no way there'll be a boycott because there's no trust in Europe right now. If England go to Germany and Spain and say, listen, guys, let's all boycott the World Cup. Who's to say that those other two nations won't, you know, backstab England or vice versa or whatever it's going to be, you know?
It's just no one's going to have the balls to do it is just basically what you're saying.
And, right.
I mean, as soon I remember the day that we sat in the newsroom at the Score and watched the draw for the two World Cups at once. You remember it happened both on the same day. At first it was Russia and then it was Qatar. And we just sat there because we were all so excited for the possibility of England or the U.S. getting one of those World Cups. And, you know, just, okay, this is going to be amazing. We could go to the States or, you know, go over to England. Would just be, and then that happened. And we all kind of just shook our heads and just thought, and immediately you just say, oh, it's corrupt. Yeah. Right. And people,
that was the immediate,
that was the immediate reaction. It hasn't gone away and it just gets worse and worse. And when you see these allegations of basically slave labor by North Koreans working for nothing to build the stadiums and build these cities nothing in Qatar for the World Cup, you just think that how can FIFA let this happen and let this go on? Do you think in this day and age that you're not going to get found out? That is so naive and so ridiculous to think that you can get away with these kind of things.
But they've been doing it for decades.
And they have been.
Journalists have been good for a long time. These days with the technology and the resources, you're going to get found out and you're going to look even worse than ever. And FIFA are there with the IOC as the most, you know, corrupt corporations in the world, no less sports. And it just puts a bigger stain on the game every time something else comes out like this.
It's very sad.
Let's say it goes ahead in Qatar. Mm-hmm. Let's just assume it's going to go ahead. I can honestly see myself during that World Cup, maybe working it, maybe not, but being very disinterested in it. Not wanting to enjoy this.
Because
I really can.
Because of the build-up? Because of everything that's happened?
I can put my fandom aside, I think.
You think so? That. I don't think a lot of people
If it goes ahead, they are spitting in our faces. FIFA proven that they just don't give a flying damn about anything.
Yeah. Well, Sharman's reaction is no different, I think, than a lot of Brazilians when the tournament came around this time who wanted to enjoy having the World Cup in their country. But from a point of living day to day, knowing that, you know, what's gone on and the money that's been spent and the corruption that existed to have this event that really isn't going to benefit them at all, they didn't enjoy it. So I think there'll be a lot of people in your position. In fact, I think that's a pretty good comparison. That will be your Brazil 2014.
Now, it's a bigger kind of question, though, right? Because, I mean, every time that a World Cup, and I think to a bit of a larger extent that the Olympics are bid on, I mean, a lot of times for the final few bid cities, there's often a big voice in
big backlash,
a few of those countries that's saying, we don't want it because the amount that it takes, the infrastructure, and just some cities have ended up being shredded by the Olympics. And now just yesterday, actually, or 2 days ago, it came out that the IOC is beginning to think or consider letting multiple cities host Olympics and even a country doing it because it just takes so much for one city to try and do it.
Right.
And it leaves them sometimes in disarray and in financial, you know, ruins. So, but I think it happens often. But the fact that when you look at it, it's going to go Brazil, Russia, Qatar. It's like you're almost going, you know, to worse places where they're not kind of ready for it or don't deserve it, if I, you know, to be crude in a way. So I don't know. It really is scary in a way that this continues to happen.
It's the face of the world, sadly, right now.
It is. You know, I saw a great tweet by, I think, David Kahn, who's a great football journalist, tweeted out, off to play football, it is still the beautiful game. It's a great tweet because amidst this crap that we're surrounded by these days, you know, when you do go out and you play a lot of time, you go out, you 2B, you go in that field and it still is the beautiful game.
Sure.
Right?
You can forget.
Not when I'm playing it, but yes.
No.
I shouldn't speak. It's been a while, but got KJ's tourney coming up.
Yeah,
in
that's
December.
Right. KJ's tourney. Yeah. That's December the 12th. Good. You in that 2B?
No, sad. I will be in Boston.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll be in Boston.
We'll miss your stepovers.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you, you know, I've been playing two sessions of men's league over the last 12 months. The game has been elevated by at least 0.5%.
Is that full, by the way, that tournament yet?
I'm not sure. You think that you can still register.
Yeah. Get on to, I think it's guluunited.com.
Yep.
If you want to submit a team or just play, I think, in this tournament, December the 12th in Toronto. Always a great time, huh?
Lamport again?
I believe so, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
It is.
It is always a great time.
Is it guluunited.com?
Yeah. And also, if you, guluunited.com, /rockthepitch, or just search Gula United on Twitter and you will find the registration. Trust me.
Get in there. It may be full up. I'm not sure. Yeah. But if it's not, get on there. It's a ton of fun and we all drink beer afterwards. So that makes it even more worthwhile.
It genuinely is a very good time. The last few years it's been in December. It's one of those things you're busy with the holiday season. It's nice to kind of break away. And then you have a get together with people you haven't seen in a long time.
Yep. Especially the listeners who have never seen us.
Yes. And it was good to interact.
We've met a bunch of listeners at these tournaments.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's been great. Yeah. Hopefully a few more.
Nice people.
I know.
It's not how I imagine our viewership and listenership to be. Complete assholes.
Yeah.
It's actually quite nice.
I was going to say, went to the Raptor game last night, which was epic.
Saw KJ there.
Christian Jack was there.
Oh, yeah.
Our old friend and eventual boss, Joe Ross.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Faisal was there as well.
Really?
And a couple other people.
All together? The three of them?
Not together. They were separate, but we met within the same 3 minute.
Was it like a media section?
No, unless that's what you call a StubHub collection in the 300 levels, then yes.
Did you shed a tear in the Vince tribute?
No, I didn't shed a tear, I would say. And I think it was ridiculous that you honor a guy while he's playing.
Yes.
But having said that, I think it was really cool. And having never been a Raptors fan, but having appreciated Vince Carter as a superstar and having done so much for the game and that this franchise, It was a nice moment.
You're not a Raptors fan?
No.
Oh.
Knicks fan.
No, he's a Knicks and Cavaliers and Lakers
fan. Did the whole podcast. Go Knicks, remember?
Yeah. I just thought you were a Raptors fan as well.
No, why would he be?
He lives in the city. Why would he be?
Head is exploding right now.
Oh, he's so angry. Well, let's just talk about Russ Martin. That'll really get him.
Oh, you mean the Scotland centre half?
Yeah, plays for Arbroath.
No, the Scotland centre half is Russ Martin.
Actually.
Whatever. Yeah, actually is. Yeah. Trying to figure out my...
I'm going on Friday to the Raptors. I'm really into it. I'm totally on board.
I'm actually taking my nephew, later December. My wife's nephew.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're in town from overseas.
Nice.
And taken to his first Raptors game.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that's good times.
Yeah. And make sure you bring a lot of cash.
Oh, I know.
Kids want their cotton candy.
He's like 9. Okay.
So he's going to want
Is it inappropriate
trips?
For him to watch his uncle get hammered?
Absolutely not.
No.
In fact, I encourage it.
Okay.
But expect it.
Knowing you.
I think you should give him a beer.
I might do.
Yeah.
Sneak it in there.
Good. You're a cool Uncle James.
Oh, he's so cool. Before the arrest.
Obviously.
I bought the round last night with the intention of I'm only going to have one, so let's get the large one. So I bought the round last night.
Broke.
$21, was it?
With tip, $2, $35
for two beers.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It was like $32.78.
And I go to sporting events at the ACC, occasionally, and I end up leaving that place drunk because I spent money.
How is that possible?
Because I'm an idiot.
It's almost
I'm
impossible.
Weak. But when in Rome,
they
have you right.
In
they
Chicago have you last the, weekend, it's I just, went to the Hawks game Sunday night, and me and my brother were just like, "Oh, it's Sunday night. We've been out all weekend. Let's get drunk." And we just like.
Spent $200.
But they were only $8.50 each, so it was much better.
That's not so bad.
There would be $12 at.
I just, are you not afraid of the path that Charmin's on right now? Because when Charmin gets to retirement, he's going to be hitting us up for money.
Oh,
when in Rome? How's your RSP? I don't know. What that means.
Yes, about that. Letters.
Can we segue though? Because if we have any listeners left,
segue.
We're talking about tickets and MLSE as a whole. The renewals have come out for Toronto FC tickets, which are 2014 prices. If and 2014 prices, by the way, which were I believe 2007 prices,
and if it's
not by much. Same prices, which I was happy to see, but expected. But if you do not renew by December the 15th, it is nearly double.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody tweeted us that actually, Peter, Robinson 13 had that question.
It is nearly double.
Why do they double in price after the 15th? What happened performance based?
I think what it comes down
to. Such a good season, things have turned around. They made the playoffs for the. All right.
Yeah.
Listen, they're going to sign Wesley Snyder and Steven Gerrard.
Right.
So if I were you guys, I would re-sign right now.
And who is it? Marco, just insert Hispanic name
Delgado.
Here. Marco Matz or whatever.
Marco Delgado.
Marco Delgado. Right.
Yeah.
It's marketing. They just, listen, whatever. We've been down that road before, but it is cheap right now, comparatively. So just re-sign before December 15th. It's pretty simple,
sure.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Your mom doesn't need another Christmas gift.
No.
She's got plenty from you before.
Having you over for dinner is enough.
Exactly.
She just wants to see you.
Another tweet regarding MLSE sent to us as well, Chris Meyer or Christian Rizmeyer. Should MLSC fire Randy Carlyle? We've done basketball so far, yeah, we've done baseball, yeah, we may as well hit hockey as well.
Well, I tweeted after, I was out that night, or I'd seen the first period up to the second and saw it was 5-0 and disregarded it. And then went out later and someone's like, well, see how the game ended? I'm like, oh, they were getting pumped. No, they lost 9. You're like, what? So I tweeted, like, if only hockey worked like Italian soccer, Randy Carlyle would be fired in the morning, yep, replaced by Ron Wilson. And then
he'd be on gardening leave.
Yeah, right. And then in March, Carlyle would be back to finish the season.
Yep.
And then
yep.
Phil Brown would come in next year.
Oh, yeah, amazing.
Exactly. The answer to the question is yes, they should fire him. Anyway, listen, more football-related stuff.
Are you still listening? That's what we want to know.
Speaking of Italian Serie A football, Roberto Mancini back to Inter Milan.
Yeah.
Takes over a ninth-place team up against Milan in the derby this weekend. Great timing. Mm-hmm. Good for him. Good for Bobby Manc.
Do you not feel bad for Dustin Hoffman, Alec Baldwin?
Oh, you mean
Walter Mazzarri?
Well, he got ripped by Moratti. He says he can't remember a coach being so unpopular with the fans. So fan pressure. Fan pressure is a theme today. They got Mazzarri fired. They forced this thief reporter have another report about the report.
Right.
And they forced Thomas Dobby, Ched Evans, out of Sheffield United. The club have come out and said, we will not allow him to train with us.
Yeah.
Good.
Their statement, this is a guy that was convicted and served time for rape.
It's months too late.
The actual statement, I love this, reaction has been at an intensity that could not have been anticipated. It couldn't
Pardon?
Have been.
Pardon?
What? He's okay. a convicted rapist.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And I'm on, you know, the scum of the scum on the internet, right, with different fan forums and stuff on the internet and Facebook, whatever, Sheffield United, like following it. And just the debates that have gone on for months, should we or shouldn't we? I'm like, there's no debate here.
Let me guess. Oh, he's
there's a million
penance.
There's a million That's soccer players saying, yeah. out there. There's a million of them.
Yeah.
Go find him.
Yeah.
This guy, I don't care. Like, oh,
just from a PR
back,
standpoint, what can he deliver you on the field?
Absolutely ridiculous. And the stand that people have taken already, and people are like, oh, how can, you know, Charlie Webster from Sky Sports, you know, remove herself from the club because she had a role there. Jessica Ennis wanted her name taken off
the stand.
Good. That's rightly so.
Pressure.
How can you ever allow that guy to come back? It's absolutely ridiculous. It's funny. It's embarrassing
when it comes
that
to,
it had to come to this.
When it comes to sports, and I think, you know, to a greater extent, we can all look at things in our life that we're really passionate about where you don't see things clearly. You see things the way you want to see them. You try and justify things, even though if you could remove yourself and look from the outside, you'd realize we're completely ridiculous. That's the same situation there. But I love the way you said that. There's a million footballers on the planet.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can find someone else credible to score goals in League One. You don't need Ched Evans. I thought the same thing about, how is Chris Brown around? I thought the same thing about
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
How did he's bigger than ever. Yeah. How did that happen?
Yeah. No, I know.
Such is life.
Stunning. It really is.
But when Qatar hosts the Olympics in 2028, yeah. we'll totally, you know.
The Winter Olympics.
Yes.
They're going to manufacture snow in plus 45 degree weather. on the brighter note, Dave Whelan has embarrassed himself again.
Yeah.
So they signed Malky Mackay.
Yeah.
This is Wigan, right? And we know Malky Mackay's infamous email exchange.
Text message.
So homophobia, sexism, racism. Yada, 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 right? So Dave Whelan says that's not important. Nowadays, it's not important. He says today, when being questioned further, the term chink is not racist.
Oh, my God.
He says, alludes to Jewish people as being extremely, people that follow their money extremely closely. And he says, there's nothing wrong with that either. Sweet Jesus.
This pod is just
keep
like,
your mouth shut.
Our game is sad sometimes. I mean,
oh, the people involved in it.
Yeah.
Some real scumbags. And Dave Whelan, I mean, one of those guys, you hate to say it, and this is probably ageist. There's a name for that, isn't it? Ageism. It's
yeah.
not ageism, wherever it is. But he's at a point now where at your dinner table, you're going to laugh at crazy Uncle Dave and his
yeah.
outlandish right-wing views.
Yeah.
But when you are representing a multi-million-pound football team, you can't be saying those things. You yeah. shouldn't say them anyway.
No. But and this debate that it's like, oh, well, that's, you know, how he grew up and it was okay. And stuff. I hate that argument
too.
Because yeah. you have to, I'm sorry, you're living in 2014 and times change and you have to adapt and you have to realize that that was wrong then. And it's certainly wrong now because everyone has gotten with the program finally in life. And, you know, for that argument, I hate that argument. You know that's going to come up as well, right? People will defend
him. There's a great line in The Office with David Brent. He's talking, someone made some inappropriate comment. And he goes, oh, yeah, but that was before racism was bad.
Yeah. It's okay. He's from a time before racism was wrong.
Yeah.
Great line.
Anyway.
Dave Whelan, though, I mean, remember when Wigan won the FA Cup and then went down? And, the work that he's done with the club, it's sad to see because he was, I think, a good face for the game up until this, right? You'd think about him as a real person.
An Englishman owning an English football team.
Right.
You know, rags to riches, really loves the club.
Martinez.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. A lot to like about him.
Yeah. There was. I'm genuinely honest, there was a lot to like about him. So, ugly things about the game.
Is there
anything nice in the soccer world that we can discuss?
This Manchester weekend, Arsenal, Manchester United. Big game this weekend, Pizzagate used to be the marquee tilt in the league, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What is it now, boys?
Arsenal.
Is it a big tilt to you? Are you going to make sure you're going to watch this one?
Absolutely.
Are you still?
Yeah. Anytime. It's.
I'm actually away this weekend, so I can't. But I'll certainly PVR it.
Saturday afternoon. Yeah. 12:30. It's a good one. Yeah. No, I'm definitely going to watch it. I mean, these teams right now, Manchester United for me are must-watch TV every week just because you want to see what's going to unfold here and what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And the more the injuries rack up and the more that pressure becomes clear, I'm a loser. I'm going to watch all morning regardless who's playing. I'm going to watch.
Well, this whole Daley Blinder injury nonsense today comes out on Twitter that he's out for 6 months and that was obviously a mistake. Now Louis van Gaal says, well, we're resting him for 10 days. Then we'll scan him again. It's not going to be 6 months. Regardless, he's out for this match, as is, of course, Rojo, which is a good thing, I think.
Yeah.
Carrick, we're not sure about. De Gea's back, they're saying. Di Maria should be okay. There were question marks as well.
I got the list in front of me. There's 12 guys that were on that list. Luke Shaw.
He's out for sure.
Raphael. Not out for sure, but it's the same questionable list.
Okay.
Expected return 2 days. So should he be ready for match day? Well, potentially. But I don't think that all of these guys will be. Ashley Young, Phil Jones, Radamel Falcao's out still 3 weeks, they estimate. Johnny Evans out a couple days. Oh, Jesse Lingard. The list is 12.
Yeah.
12 guys.
What's Arsenal's?
That's a good question.
I bet they're more key players. Right, we know Ozil's out. Giroud's back this weekend.
Blind and Rojo are pretty key.
But well, Rooney's back. Rooney's back in his world class form. Clearly, after
who is sorry
Rooney after looking great for England.
Yeah.
So
he's an England great. 100 caps.
He's an England great. Better for England than Man United recently, though.
How funny was that? We didn't have a podcast, but how funny was it that all the England conversation for the first couple of days was how can they play on that Wembley pitch? The NFL has ruined it. And then the last couple of days, it's where does Wayne Rooney rank as far as a legend in your eyes?
Yeah, but the pitch was a disgrace, by the way.
It was quite poor. So look forward to that, TFC fans.
I got into it real good on Twitter that day because I was quite...
About the pitch?
Yeah, I was quite harsh about England at halftime.
Yeah.
But I mean, for starters, they played awful in the first half. But then the pitch, and I said tongue-in-cheek, I said, no, that pitch makes me ashamed to be English. This utter twat. Actually, someone asked me to talk about this.
Do you not still love when Sharma gets mad at these sometimes? It brings so much joy to me.
Like Sharma's Twitter rants and Twitter fights are just the best.
Where is it here? Someone asked me.
I miss them on Twitter.
Give them some credit here.
I don't notice them when you're actually having them. So,
where is it?
So at
Dr. Jaikan says... A doctor
is Twitter fighting
you? Can't be a real doctor. Surely. There can't be a real doctor listening to this stupidity. Surely. Anyway, he says, I want to hear you shred the absolute twats that harassed you about nationalism during the England match. This person, they're on Twitter, they're called the England House, I think it is. They're some social group and they support England. And I'm not sure, they're based out west somewhere. And this guy went off at me in the second half, calling me every name under the sun, saying how I'm an absolute disgrace to my country and telling everyone, James Sharman just says he's ashamed to be English. And what I'd said was, this pitch makes me ashamed to be English. English. And it was tongue-in-cheek, clearly.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Just going back and forth. He was an absolute moronic fool.
Yeah.
His arguments were dreadful, and my Twitter army
really?
Got involved.
Really? Because I expected him to be quite articulate.
My tweet army got involved and shot him down pretty good, and he starts questioning my cheap suits.
Oh, wow.
Believe me, they're not cheap suits.
No.
And he goes, yeah, you loser, you and your cheap suits, Sportsnet should buy you some. Sportsnet BIOS suits, you friggin' idiot. What do you think? I go to Morris before I go on air? Jesus, these people. Anyway.
Not that there's anything wrong with you if you shop at Moore's.
No, it's fine. Moore's is fine.
James is not ashamed of you for shopping
there's
at
Moore's. Nice, actually, there are some. I bought suits from Moore's before. Nice suits.
There's very nice suits.
Very nice suits. But you can get cheap ones too.
I know what you mean.
And it's probably a bad example.
And then you retweeted all of his tweets. Yeah. Their England host tweets to you.
Good. Yeah, yeah. He called me a lot of names. It's quite amusing, actually.
I mean, they have 497 followers, so clearly very powerful in the
In the end, I blocked
Twitter
him.
Sphere. Yeah,
good. I blocked him. I don't block very often, but some people just annoy me.
Twitter army came to your rescue. I mean, I didn't know your wife was on Twitter, but I'm glad that...
she is, actually, but she doesn't ever use it. She's about 3 followers. Anyway, sorry, we got sidetracked here. Arsenal, Man United. Giroud's back.
Yes.
For Arsenal. What does that mean with Danny Welbeck? You can't move him, can you? He's playing so well, 12 goals so far.
He is playing really well. But do you not still trust Giroud to be your number one guy?
That's why they got Welbeck, isn't it?
No. Well, you think that's why? I thought they got Welbeck as cover. I thought they got Welbeck as an integration.
I like Giroud, but I don't think he's a number one guy.
I think Welbeck's purchase... Well, I don't think anyone thought Welbeck was a number one guy.
No, true.
I think that his purchase was as a compliment to Giroud, that you perhaps create a Sturridge and Suarez. I think that was the whole...
They're actually quite similar, aren't they?
They are similar.
So 1A and 1B, but they're not really like a true number one center forward, right? As far as a world-class center forward is concerned. Very good players. But not world class by any stretch.
Yeah, you say that was a super quick recovery for Giroud.
Yeah, apparently it's 3 weeks early.
Yeah, because I remember it was supposed to be after Christmas.
Yeah, Wenger said today the plan was to come in just before the new year.
Yeah.
But here we are 3 weeks later, before then, and he's available.
All these super technical terms like football fans know anatomy. Tibia is the part of your leg between your shin and your ankle.
Tibia is one of the bones in your lower leg.
One of the bones in your lower leg. Similar to the same injury that Steven Stamkos had.
Yeah.
Possibly. Was that tibia? Was that fibula?
Fibula. But they're very similar, close to each other anyways, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Sherman knows the human body.
Ask your doctor to confirm
ask
this
Ask your
for
wife.
Us.
She knows all
Yeah, she'll know. Yeah, she'll have the real name for it. But you're right, though. He did break the part near the ankle, though.
Yeah.
It's low, very low in the tibia. Not sure what you're trying to prove here exactly, but anyway, he broke his leg essentially, and he's back real early.
Can I just say how much time flies? Because I remember that happening like it was like 2 days ago, and then them getting Welbeck, and it's like that was in August, like that was 3 months ago.
Time does fly.
Good God,
it feels an odd season though. It's flown by in that regard. Yeah. But so much has happened in this season.
Yeah. Yeah,
so much strange stuff.
It feels like only a few weeks ago that we were sitting in another studio with maybe another person in the room doing another podcast. That doesn't feel that long ago either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jema.
Last you saw Arsenal playing, they lost to Swansea, by the way.
Yeah.
Remember that? And United beat Crystal Palace. Wan-Mata was playing well, finally. So, you know, with Rooney healthy now, what happens to Wan-Mata? Because he was, I thought, really stepping it up and playing much better football.
With all the other injuries, there's got to be a place for him in the squad. Mm-hmm. Not in a position in which he's probably most comfortable and most successful, but a place in the squad nonetheless.
RVP looked really good for the Dutch on the weekend. It was vintage RVP.
Yeah,
actually.
It was.
Albeit against, you know, a weak team, but still.
Yeah, but when they turn it on and look like themselves, God, they're good to watch.
They really are.
You know?
Arjen Robben. You know,
world class.
Despise him for the diving, but there's a few people I'd rather watch than him. One-on-one, is there anyone better in the world?
And when he left Chelsea, the thought was, he's chased the money. Real's a great opportunity, but he might be a bit out of place. Mm-hmm. And he had a spell there where he kind of owned his position, but it wasn't very long. And then sure enough, he was disposable. And he went to Bayern. And I think at that point, we'd all kind of written him off.
Went to Real first, didn't he?
I mentioned that.
Right? Oh, sorry. Wasn't it the Chelsea, Real, then Bayern?
Correct.
I thought you said.
No, I was talking about
Real,
his
Chelsea
his spell.
Bayern.
No. I was talking about his spell at Real and how he had a brief spell where he, I think, owned his place, but then was quickly disposable. And him and Schneider left the same season, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And he went to Bayern, and we thought, Bayern, he's done. He's passed it, and he's got goodness,
better.
He's in that. Yeah, he's got miles
he's got
better.
Scores a winning goal in the Champions League, man of the match. You know, in the final.
Yep.
We were there.
Yeah. Good.
I was thinking about this. If not for Messi and Ronaldo in this era of players, there'd be, you know, for Ballon d'Ors,
Ibra,
Robben, Ribery.
Xavi Iniesta.
Yeah, Xavi Iniesta, right? Be a far greater selection of Ballon d'Or winners.
God, I wish those guys weren't around. Those losers, Messi and Ronaldo.
Why couldn't you play in a different era separately?
Yeah. Chelsea, they take on West Brom. You know, we're not going to mention Unbeatable, right, in this podcast. However, I did interview on Monday's Better podcast, Amy Lawrence. She's written a book about the Invincibles of Arsenal in 2003-2004.
Nice.
And it was a great chat with her, and she was explaining that squad and that team and what they were. And talent-wise, we know what they were, you know, with Vieira and obviously Henri and Perez, just wonderful Sol Campbell. But she goes, what made that team so impressive was the characters and the togetherness. They really liked each other. They hung out together. They were very different personalities, but there was no one leader. It was truly a leadership group of like 11 players. And you look at this Chelsea team right now, and I kind of see the same thing.
You get that feeling from
Yeah, there isn't yeah. one man who is the man. John Terry might think he is, but I'm sure says Fabregas, Didier Drogba, you know, don't look at John Terry and say, well, it's just your club, John.
Right.
This is very much a collective.
Right. Do you not also feel that...
It's Mourinho's club.
It's well,
Mourinho's
yeah, good club. Right? Yeah.
But do you not feel that, you know, John Terry is a bit quieter, composed? I mean, on the pitch, you
less
know,
controversial.
I'll be the first to bash him, and you know he's an absolute twat off the pitch. But I'll give this guy credit because 2 years ago, a lot of people, and I'll dump myself into that, thought that he was done and just playing out the string. And he's reinvented himself as an everyday.
I think the team reinvented himself
on the team sheet
because they were pressing with AVB. They're pressing high at the pitch, right? That's what AVB does, and with John Terry's legs, you can't do that. He's slow. But when you sit back and become a counter-attacking team like Chelsea, he's perfect. Because in that box, he's a beast.
And
when
you don't have him playing next to a liability like David Luiz.
True.
Yep. I think that changes everything as well.
I mean, who'd have thought, you know, two English centre-halves, you know, in the backbone of this close to being impenetrable defence.
Please come back and play for
England. Yeah, I know.
Honestly.
I know. Nice. He'd walk in there, wouldn't he, right now?
Pretty much.
Holy smokes. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But still, Chelsea, West Brom, though, West Brom's in a decent story so far, but they should be an easy 3 points for Chelsea. You can catch one actually on Sportsnet 10 a.m. on Saturday across the country. City, Swansea. Swansea fifth, beat Arsenal, as I mentioned. About to sign Wilfred Bony to a big new contract extension, which is huge. Doesn't mean he won't go anywhere, but he's probably there for a year at least, you would think.
Gary Monk's been a good story.
Yes, he has been. Yep.
I mean, taking over and just... Everyone thought that was a, you know, a move just in the in-between, an interim move, and here he is, and all of a sudden you start to think, this is one of the better, bright young minds in the game right now. Like, the way done it. He's 35 years old. He's an ex-player. Just thought he was kind of, okay, well, the players maybe like him. He was there for a long time. And just, you don't want to, you know, jump to conclusions, but it seems like a guy that might be able to stick for a long time and be a name in the English game. So good for him.
As long as he sticks it there long enough, you know, it's a good club for him right now. Yeah. Learn it, trade, stick there for a while.
Don't do the Lambert.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, the chance will come at some point to move on if you're the real deal. But, Rodgers has turned out pretty good.
Yeah.
But certainly Lambert's a good example, I think. City, of course, tied QPR 2-2 last time out.
Yeah.
In turmoil, Yaya Toure says, don't worry, we're going to rebound, find our form. I think that the break probably came at just the right time for City amidst that crisis.
I think so too.
Hosting Bayern Munich on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Bayern Munich with no motivation. We talked about this last time. I mean,
no Philipp Lahm either.
City
He's
still
out for 3 months
with
a broken
opportunity.
Ankle.
They still have that opportunity to somehow get out of that group despite being,
I think it's
appalling.
Yeah, but it's very unlikely at this point, isn't it?
It's 2 points. They have to win that.
I mean, 2 points.
Would you be surprised if they thrashed and not thrashed, but if they beat Swansea handsomely 3-0?
Wouldn't surprise me at all.
And then
not at all.
Fall on their face on Tuesday.
Yeah. There's a big. We're going to see what happens this week, but there's a big leadership void there outside Vincent Kompany.
Oh yeah.
When he's not around or when he's not getting the job done, there's no one else stepping up there.
No one else.
And last year it was Yaya Toure. Throwing that team on his shoulders, 20 league goals. He was the man. That brings leadership in itself. When he's not doing it this year, there's no one else. I mean, Aguero, 12 goals. He's been absolutely brilliant, but he's not a leader.
No.
And it's rare the strikers are. You know, there's no one else. So I think it's a big week for City to prove the naysayers wrong. And could you see Pellegrini being canned if they lose to City and say Swansea as well, getting canned this early?
I think it's possible. I mean, if they go out of the Champions League, which again looks likely, and
I can see him sacked mid-season. Yeah,
yeah. If they drop more points and start teetering away, I mean, there's already, you know, a gap in that table where it looks like Chelsea running away and City are the only ones that have a legit chance. I mean, I think that we can all agree Southampton's not going to challenge for the title, and neither are teams like West Ham or Swansea. So if you look at the legit contenders, I think that's coming from your computer there, punters. Look at the legit contenders. I mean,
I don't know how to stop it.
All right.
Some background audio. That's nice. Good.
8-point gap to Man City already. So say City drop a couple of points here in their next couple weeks. You mentioned Chelsea against West Brom, and that gap comes 10, 12, and they see that.
It's done now anyway.
Right? It feels like it. It's November, but it feels like Chelsea are going to have to struggle a lot more than we expect to make it a race.
We'll see with Chelsea what happens in the new year, because if they're still in Europe, you know, you do see big teams drop points when they're, you know, focusing on Europe. And we know Jose's going to be focused on Europe.
And they're still in the League Cup. And then there's the FA Cup that comes. Yep. So, I mean, there's a lot of fixtures.
I still think it's inevitable they're going to win this league at this point.
Think back to years past where, you know, Chelsea have been in quite the convincing position early on in the season. And then the new year comes around and they hit a lull, or there's a spell between January and early March where, you know, they pick up half the points you'd expect them to. Not a devastating crisis run, but half the points you'd expect them to. But we see managers get sacked. We see, you know, panic buys that they've done in the past. I think that Chelsea are due to have a bit of a blip like that, but maybe a 4-game run or a 5-game run at some point. But if they continue to run away and City haven't figured it out by Christmas or the first week of January, then the title's done. Put the bow on it. It's over.
We could be talking about Gary Monk as Man City's new boss this time next week.
Oh boy, imagine that. Well, here's how City end the month, right? They're home to Swansea on Saturday. That match is not on the network, sorry.
So it's not being played. It doesn't exist.
I thought that that's what you'd said, but I realize you're talking about Chelsea. Then they're home to Bayern on Tuesday, and then they go down to Southampton on the following Sunday.
Oh, that's a great
so
match.
To end the month, that could be quite telling
for Pellegrini. I can really see Southampton getting taught a bit of a lesson in that one.
Getting taught a lesson.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I hope not. I hope this story continues.
So let's say that does happen, right? But if Southampton continue on this path of beating every team that isn't outspending them by $100 million a season, then they would be like Arsenal, who for a few years in a row didn't pick up points against any of the teams above them and still finished in the top four.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's possible, isn't it? Yeah, that's a good point. I look at Southampton's schedule so far, and I'm taking nothing away from them at all, but it's been pretty weak.
Yeah, there's no way they can sustain it. I mean, it would be great for them to challenge for the top four deep into the season, but you just know that Arsenal, Manchester United.
And Arsenal's getting healthy now as well. They're coming back slowly.
They're going to make their runs, right? I mean, Arsenal and Man United will go on huge runs where they pick up tons of points. I mean, I'd be stunned still if Southampton do finish top four in the end. Do I think they can finish sixth? Sure, absolutely. Do I think they can be in a top four spot into the new year? Sure, absolutely. But I can't see it sustaining for the whole year. And again, what a story. But let's see when they play the big boys. And that Man City one is a huge first test. But look at them. They've scored 17 goals and conceded one at home.
Mm-hmm.
So
best defense in Europe, I believe, isn't it?
Possibly. Five goals.
I think Juve may have a better record. Maybe Bayern as well. It's top five anyway in Europe. Yeah. They're playing Villa this weekend, who are renowned for their great attack.
Not even.
Oi!
Oi!
Oh,
Villa this weekend.
Villa.
React.
Yeah, that's good.
I was slamming your club.
No,
react.
I know. I was actually looking at the trends.
Don't urinate so we can make fun of you again.
I was looking at the trends on on Twitter, and I guess it's customized to things that you view, right? Because the trends that come up here for me, Dave Whelan, Malcolm Mackay, Buffalo, Will Acton, Chet Evans, Wigan, Vince Carter, Toronto.
Like,
is Twitter listening to our podcast right now? Because I feel like that's
someone
on
Twitter probably
happening.
Is. There's probably some person who has a Twitter account.
Are you on Canada
is listening
trends
right now?
Where are you looking?
I clicked. I'm viewing one of my tweets, and at the bottom it has trends there. There's one sponsored one, promoted one, and then. But look at that collection. Like, that's weird.
Let's see what mine.
Maybe it is like personalized based on things it assumes I would be interested in, based on tweets that I've tweeted.
Maybe they've broken down your personality and thrown you into a subgroup of people with similar personalities.
Honor, hashtag MTV stars, hashtag promote Canadian comic, hashtag happy birthday Michael Clifford, who the hell's that? Buffalo, Brian Allen, Burnaby Mountain, Bork, Bill Cosby. It's all B's.
Where do you find this?
On Twitter. Yeah, on Twitter, I don't know if we're looking in the same scenario, but I've just
clicked, I'm on my phone though. That's fine.
Right. Probably on one of my tweets, right? When you look to see the chat and the thread, right, at the bottom of it, it has a collection of trends.
Like below your really boring tweet there. Jeff Cameron will make his color commentator debut this weekend. Which player would you like to hear in the booth? We'll read tweets on pod today. No, you won't, because it's a really silly tweet.
Why is it a silly tweet?
Boring. You tweeted that?
Yeah.
Did anybody
to know.
Respond?
Yeah.
I got. All right, let's think about this.
So you're going to read them?
Sure.
Okay, the trending topic is even more boring, so let's go with this right now.
Okay.
So read out your tweet again.
Right. Jeff Cameron is going to make his color commentator debut this weekend. Sunday. I forget what the match is now. But he's with Arlo White. So I asked, which player would you like to hear in the booth?
Don't care.
James Milner.
I don't care. I'll speak. I
think JD takes the cake here. Given that it's Movember, it has to be Pedro Portugal. Pedro Portugal. And that's it. So,
Twitter's exploding right now. Yeah. Responding to your tweet thing.
Your tweets weekend, are so man. Much better. Hey, what do you want to know? Let us know. 3,000 responses, James Sherman.
That's been a few. Should we go see some tweets here before we get to the rest of the games here? Bob Sacamano.
He's great, eh?
He's really good. Sacamano. He asks, chocolate, vanilla, banana, or butterscotch pudding?
I think you go butterscotch.
Chocolate.
Do you? I'm a vanilla guy.
All right.
No, you're not.
I am.
In your cheap suits.
We all disagree. As long as
that's
not
what makes
banana.
This pod work. You know, you're a butterscotch guy. You're a chocolate guy. I'm a vanilla right. guy.
But where, and what was the other description? Oh, the description of Arsenal. I thought that fit us as well. You know, they're really good friends, though they're incredibly different people.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like us?
Puff, today we're like Raheem Sterling, though. We're all really tired for some reason. We're come back from international break.
Yeah.
I've been throwing back this giant thermos of coffee.
Peter actually tweeted about the seats. Did we already talk about that?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did at TFC. Mm-hmm. I'm so prepared for this podcast.
So you didn't get enough.
Somebody asked about Ian Hume.
Yeah, I'm reading that
right
now.
For TFC, right?
He'd be brought back as a striking option, no, for Canada.
Right now he is in India, isn't he? I think he's playing in India.
Really?
I thought Ian Hume 4 or 5 years ago would be a great pickup.
Yeah,
why not?
He's playing for the
I think he's what? Is he? I think he's quite an old, 33 around there.
31.
Is he 31?
He's playing for the Kerala Blasters, the Indian Super
League. I think there's often a reason why players go to India.
There's someone else.
And it's not always for the money.
Well, Rowan Ricketts went to India.
Yes.
There's someone else playing over there. Spanish.
Yes,
I think
you're right.
Do you see the pictures as well? Oh, yes. No. It's not Spanish. Sorry. It's Marco Materazzi.
Buyakashak.
He's playing in India.
Marco Materazzi is playing out there.
Yeah. Ian Hume isn't the solution to striking woes for TFC. I don't think.
Or Canada.
What's Ali Gerber doing?
What is Ali Gerber doing?
Eating.
He might be in India.
Eating Indian cuisine. Indian buffet.
Probably.
Definitely, yeah.
Probably.
He's somewhere with, who was the Brazilian that Arsenal had? They bought him when Wenger panicked on the last day. Santos. Mm-hmm. Andre Santos?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Every time you'd see him, you'd flip through the paper, right? The British papers are the best. It's like, oh, these guys had a club night. Like, look, Jermaine Defoe's wasted. It was always Andre Santos at the chippy.
That was starving, wasn't he? He couldn't cook.
That was always the paparazzi pictures. It's Andre Santos.
Who was it
at
who said that living in some English city is terrible because there's no good food or restaurants.
Who was that? It was one of the Russians. It was
Arshavan, wasn't it?
Yeah,
living in London, there's no good restaurants. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, none in London.
None, no.
Can't find anything.
Not at all.
Oh,
wow.
Old podcasts that we just recycled. Stories, those are great.
Isn't that what we do here? Basically, we just recycle the old podcasts.
Yeah, those are some good ones.
It's amazing we have new listeners. To all of you that are brand new, thank you.
Do we?
Liverpool play Crystal Palace. Sturridge is out for another 6 weeks.
This guy is just can't catch
it's
a break.
14 games he's missed now. At what point do we say it's time to move on? I mean, you can't rely on him at this point, can you?
Apparently not this season.
Right?
I don't know.
And time to move on as in you don't think he's going to be able
to
recover?
No, you can't rely on him this season in particular. So you got to address your striking needs. And unless Balotelli starts scoring goals or unless they start playing some kind of defense, they ain't going to do much this year, I don't think. Well, and you look at last year, right? Now, Sturridge and Suarez score what? Over 50 goals between them, right? 55 goals or something between them. Yeah. They gave up 50 goals too last year. That's a lot. A lot of goals for a top team. So this year, they're maintaining that defensive record, but they haven't got those 50-odd goals coming in.
Yeah.
Right? It's bound to happen, isn't it?
And isn't it funny, the schedule, that last time out in the Premier League, they played at home to Chelsea, And now this week, they go to Crystal Palace.
Sounds familiar.
Sounds familiar. Do they go to play home to Newcastle in a nothing game next week? No.
Was it Newcastle last year?
Remember the last game of the season when it was done.
I don't remember. That's like months ago, Tom.
Yeah, it's crazy. Weird.
Lambert and Barini and Bello combined this season have 0 goals in the league.
That's pretty devastating.
That's an issue. Ricky Lambert has not turned out very well, has it?
No. It's
he's not given the chance, though, man. I mean, he's not really getting...
Must be really shite in training.
Must be.
Like, horrifying. Horrible.
So
that's
bad.
This is a good word. Horrible.
Very good. Horrible.
I thought last
awful
year,
and
though,
horrible.
You know, yeah, that it was a...
Offable.
That it was a bad...
Offable.
Horrible.
Offable is a word, though, isn't it?
I don't know.
What's offable mean? O-F-F-I-B-L-E. Give it a whirl.
Ryerson Dobby would be so disappointed in this
affable
podcast.
Affable is the word, not offable.
Isn't it offable as well? No. I know some people who are very offable. Now I want to see them dead.
Oh, punters. He's offable.
Yeah, punters is offable.
No, you guys are just assholes. So just, like, grow up.
Be a bit more affable. And,
where?
Can, hold on.
Awful,
to address, that's how many would describe this podcast at the moment.
Yes,
to address what Liverpool would do should Ballo not wake up and remember how good he actually is. You know what I was thinking about this season and watching the story progress, and at the end of October there was a couple of stories about him being unsettled and upset with the game time. But what about Pedro?
I like Pedro a lot.
I like
absolutely
Pedro a lot, and he was heavily linked with a January move to Arsenal. Mm-hmm. 25 mil, said some of the reports.
25 is a lot for him.
For January. 25 is a lot. But I mean...
But Barca, with Suarez there now, he ain't going to play much.
No, he isn't.
He was very good for Spain last weekend.
Yeah.
I've always liked Pedro.
Been
a very kind of guy that if he played regularly, I think he'd score a lot of goals.
You know what? I'm surprised, and it just shows how long we've been working together in the industry. You know how old he is?
Oh, how
Pedro?
Old is he?
27, 28?
27.
Wow. Is he really?
He's a year younger than me.
Wow.
Crazy.
Yep, that is. Divock Origi's name's been mentioned, right? Divock Origi of Lille. He's loaned there, of course, from Liverpool.
Yeah.
I think £11 million. And there's all these stories that they want to get him back now.
Bring him back.
It cost him £3 million more, though.
Really?
Because I think the deal was, we'll sell him to you for £11 million, but we want him back for another year.
Keep him for the season, yeah.
Or you can have him this year, but he'll cost more money. He's playing well, Lille. They're not playing well, mind you, but it's got 6 goals.
Let him marinate in the oven a little bit.
I think exactly. It'd be a bit of a rush, and you know what happens, right? He comes in January, he's going to be the solution, and it's just too much pressure. So, but they've got to do something, obviously. With Sturridge out for another 6 weeks. Other games to get through: Newcastle, QPR. Ayoze Perez, 3 straight games.
It's been good.
Really good pickup.
Yeah, it has been.
Hey? Tenerife last year.
Talk about the turnaround, though. Good Lord, Newcastle. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I mean, Alan Pardew, savior.
He was hanging by an absolute thread, and now look.
They are the
them,
fickless fans, aren't they, Newcastle fans?
Yeah, they
My
are.
God.
They're kind of like Leaf fans.
They were
burning
him in effigy a month ago.
They're incredibly passionate, and that's they live for their club. And when that happens, we describe them as being fickle. But, you know, that's the club is their life.
If he wasn't from London, though, from the south at least, there'd be a lot more patience that should have afforded him. And that's fair enough.
Kevin Keegan got a bit of a longer...
But that's a reality.
A longer leash. But no, I agree completely. But there was one... I forget what the match was, but Pardew was speaking, and you can tell it was getting to him. It was... they'd got a draw or something, and it was, not a win, but like, at least it's a draw. And Pardew's response was, all the fans calling for my head, I guess they'll be disappointed that we came away with a result. And you could just got to him. He's starting to break.
Sure.
But my goodness, they've turned around and have been great to watch.
Five now, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
Home to QPR at West Ham, and then, come on, load, goddammit. I just had it. What? This new soccer net just...
Oh, it's awful.
Sucks.
I know.
You look at all of the goddamn pictures
boom,
on one page.
Is.
Now I have to
it's
go month
so annoying.
By month. It's such a good thing lined up about their fixtures over Christmas. It's really tough.
This is a new...
All for naught.
This is a Never new mind. Web design. This is not the only site. God. This is a lot of sites think that this is the way, and I'm not a fan of this.
All right, they're December. They play Burnley away. Okay. Home to Chelsea, at Arsenal, at Spurs, home to Sunderland, Derby, at Man United, home to Everton. Newcastle's December. Interesting.
They'll be calling for his head by January.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, when they lose 5 in a row because they're playing all the top teams.
Yeah.
Right.
Good. So I'll still say, and I still think of Newcastle fondly when I think of punters over here, because it wasn't so many years ago that you said they'll be finishing 6th in the table.
Yeah.
And we laughed at you.
Because
you thought you were insane.
Yeah. You still think
and they finished 6th that year.
Yeah.
And then he went to the Geordie Shore.
That's right. Actually, went on vacation to Newcastle. because of that success.
I was the first person ever to go on vacation to Newcastle, actually. Mm-hmm. But a hell of a place. And if you travel England, please visit. You'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy it. No matter how you spend your evenings, you will enjoy it.
West Ham take on Everton. Andy Carroll's back.
Yeah.
Do you start Andy Carroll? They're playing so well.
You need him to deliver, right?
And they've been playing so well, playing a certain brand of football that isn't your typical
West Ham brand of football.
Well, I know Allardyce style of football. You know, yeah. West Ham's renowned for being more of a
He came on against Villa 2 weeks ago and almost scored twice in the 5 minutes he was on. So he's still a handful, right? And I mean,
I think people say, "Oh, well, they go direct now." And I know coaches are kind of persuaded to play direct within there, but there's more to Andy Carroll than just being a big lug in the box.
And I mean, he's knocking balls down, holding the ball up. I mean, he does a lot of things right. I mean, there's a reason that he did. I mean, obviously,
he's a £50 million player.
Obviously, the money is outrageous, but he does do a lot of things right. And he was, you know, highly touted for a reason. So
he kept us waiting in the parking lot for 3 hours.
Beg your pardon?
No, that was... It was because of him.
Went to...
What were you doing in the parking lot waiting for him?
Dobby and I, we were actually, it wasn't in a parking lot. We were on the street outside the training ground. Mm-hmm. We had an interview set with Sam Allardyce, and we arrive and we're told, oh, he's in a meeting, you know, it's going to be a little while. Why don't you go get a coffee? All right. So we sit there for 45 minutes. Next thing you know, an hour and change goes by and she comes out again. Like, oh, still in a meeting. Like, you know, go grab a bite. Like, come on. Like, we've got other things to do. We've got deadlines to send it back and driving through London. And eventually we get in there and it was a great interview. He was personable. We talked about the World Cup. We talked about, you know, nothing to do specifically with West Ham. It was great. He leaves. We get back in the car. We drive off to send it back to the stateside and then realize, they signed Andy Carroll to 15 mil.
Oh. Yeah, it came out on Twitter. It's like, really? Oh, Andy Carroll, you know, signs permanently with West Ham, £50 million. So we sent it back. Here's the interview with Allardyce. We have nothing on Carroll. You might want to do that news leading into it. Again, we caught up with Sam Allardyce and didn't ask him about it. Like, we asked about Razvan Rat, though. Don't worry.
We did talk about Razvan Rat.
Don't you worry.
Razvan Rat. He's got a great goal on the weekend, by the way, Razvan Rat.
Oh, good.
Great goal.
For who?
His country.
Nation.
Oh, okay.
His country.
Romania?
Leads me right now.
I believe it is Romania. Yeah.
That's right.
I sat for about 2 hours once at Watford's clubhouse waiting for Malky Mackay.
Did you?
Speaking of waiting, and he never showed up in the
sending,
end.
Sending awful texts.
He was, yeah. He sent me a text to apologize, called me terrible names. Didn't actually.
When was that?
That was when I was over 3 years ago now, maybe.
Oh, okay.
4 years ago now. That's when I had all these great interviews lined up, and one by one they canceled. Just got there.
Excellent.
Really was an upsetting trip, actually. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Quickly, Hull, Tottenham, Leicester, Sunderland. Oh, give me a bucket for that one. Oh, we're showing that one. Forget that. Actually, it should be an interesting game, though, I think, Leicester and Sunderland. You know,
we've been here for far too long.
In your notebook there, you need to start. Can I just, you know, encourage you to use different colors? So that
it all kind of merges into
when
one.
When you write the games down, you use a red pen to be like, this is on the Empire.
On the Empire. I've been told not to use that term, by the way, Empire.
I was told months ago.
Were you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
And was surprised. I'm like, well,
what's wrong with it?
Can get away with it.
Nah. I don't know.
Story for another day.
I don't know. Yeah. Connotation? Evil Empire? I don't know.
But that's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, our games on the network this weekend. Chelsea West Brom on Saturday, 10 a.m. across the country. The early one on World is Palace against Liverpool. We also have Hull, Tottenham, and Leicester Sunderland for the marquee tilt. So PVR that and watch that at noon rather than Arsenal Manchester United.
All right.
Why not?
Good.
That's it.
All right.
Hopefully this
might be back next week
as it was for us.
I think I'm back on Monday with Molnaro doing the Better podcast.
You're going away this weekend.
I am.
We're going.
Are you going to Big Bear Lodge again?
No, going to New York actually this weekend.
Oh, boy.
This weekend, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You did tell me about that. I remember.
There's jet setters.
Yeah.
Aren't we all? You work on TV. You make so much money.
Are you taking a game in?
No.
Play.
It's my wife's 40th birthday.
Oh, right.
Ooh, I shouldn't have said that, should I?
Oh boy!
No, I'm really
edit that out.
You are in the dark.
Yeah, like she listens to this podcast.
So Broadway,
yes.
What plays?
Seeing the new Michael C. Hall. It's not his new one. It's an old. It's called. Oh my god! I forget now.
You're totally into the Broadway thing.
Like Broadway.
Seeing the Carole King musical?
No.
Are you seeing a crazy one called Sleep No More?
No.
Good.
Should I?
Off-air conversation. I think we've lost people already.
Yeah. Is Sleep No More a show that makes you want to fall asleep?
No, but it's definitely not for the traditional, someone who wants to experience a play as a traditionalist, as in sitting in a chair and watching something for 2 hours. It's not really? Like that at all.
It's hardcore.
No, and if you have an eye infection, or eye allergy, excuse me, to smoke machine, as I do.
You have an allergy to smoke machines?
I didn't know until I was
after
in there for
all
4 hours.
All the rubber
hours.
Shirt parties you frequented.
I know, it's crazy. There's no...
Frequented. George Peros frequenting rubber shirt
Roberto
parties.
Roberto Martinez and, you know, Manny George Ramirez. Peros. I just love the way you speak.
Manny Ramirez.
I did, no, I that was what I was in flying back from Portugal when
More
Manny
like
Ramirez...
Ramirez.
When Manny Ramirez was traded to the Dodgers, and it was on, it was how they ended your... And to conclude this Eurosport update, Major League Baseball news, the Boston Red Sox have traded Manny Ramirez to LA Dodgers.
I'm like, I couldn't believe it. All right, anyway, we're done. Bye.